です。Good morning, everyone. Isn't it great to just praise God? I just think it's fantastic. It's good to be reminded who Jesus is, what he's done, that nothing has defeated him. That's good to remember. Well, we're going to read this morning, actually. Let's get straight into it. I'm going to read the passage first. We're going to read from Luke chapter 5. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Okay. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master," or teacher, "we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Well, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we're able to come here this morning in peace. Father, I thank you that we can gather as a body, united by Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And Father, we get to be encouraged. We get to listen to your word. We get to listen to each other with open hearts. Father, I just pray, help us to be open to what you want to say this morning. Father, that we can be changed and walk in the likeness of Christ. Lord, that we can be the light unto the world. Help us to trust you every day, in every moment. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. For those of you who might not know me, my name is Mark. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a guest this morning. So thank you for the invite. And my sermon today is entitled, "Trust God." It's something that we need to do every day. It's part of the Christian walk. It's a life of faith. It's a walk of faith. I'm going to begin this morning actually with a story. So years ago, I was at a church. And along came a new guy. If I'm honest, I didn't know him. I didn't really know him. But I noticed something about him. I actually noticed that he was flirting with all the girls. And I noticed that wherever he was surrounded by girls. And this was in my young adults day, so I was a bit younger. And anyway, there was often a lot of laughing It would happen at church, at home gatherings, kind of all kind of occasions. But I never saw him engaging with the guys. I didn't really have much to do with him. We had short pleasantries, but not a good conversation. And I actually was suspicious about him quite quickly, as though his faith wasn't genuine. And I actually felt a bit jealous of him. In fact, I thought of him a bit as a womanizer, and I had judgment in my heart about who he was. The thing was, though, all the girls who spoke to him and knew him, they were like, they spoke very well of him, very well of his nature. And one night after a young adults event, it was quite late, he needed a lift home. And I had a car, and I thought, I don't really want to do this. I have the means to do it, but I don't really want to. You know, I know the scripture says, love one another as I have loved you. And I knew that I didn't really know him, and I really ought to get to know him, because love believes the best of one another. And if I was in his shoes, it would be really helpful. And I felt this conflict within me. Would I go with my feelings and my judgment, or would I genuinely help? Would I genuinely have compassion? Because that's where God wanted my heart to be. And I knew it. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you've had the choice between your feelings and your evaluation, the natural circumstances, what you can see, and what you know is true and is Christ's example, where you know what Scripture teaches, and God's kind of got his finger on your heart, and he's saying, do that. Well, come with me to Luke chapter 5. We're going to make four observations of the passage. We're going to make one, that there's an ongoing relationship between Jesus and Simon. Two, that Jesus makes a request of Simon against natural reasoning. Three, Simon trusts Jesus based on Jesus' character. And four, three miracles occur. And then we're going to wait and see what happens with my example. So we'll read verses 1 to 3. So just follow along once again. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one boat, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. He then sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, at first you might think this is a bit of a random encounter. You know, Jesus is at the Lake of Gennesaret, which you might also know as the Sea of Galilee, and he's doing what he does. He's teaching. And he sees a boat and he gets into it. Who does that? Who gets into a stranger's boat and just kind of starts teaching? Says, put me out a little bit from shore. Well, no one does that. No, this isn't a chance encounter. Jesus chooses Simon's boat to teach the crowds because he's got a relationship with Simon Peter already. In fact, Simon is already one of Jesus' disciples. Yet prior to this, probably not full-time in vocation. How do we know this? Well, good question you ask. In John's Gospel, John the Baptist identifies Jesus as the Messiah. That's in John chapter 1, 15 and 24. And Andrew, who's Simon Peter's brother, has been a disciple of John the Baptist. John the Baptist declared Jesus as the Messiah. And Andrew then follows Jesus. And then Andrew finds his brother Simon Peter, and tells him, we found the Messiah. And they continue to hear the message of the kingdom of God from Jesus. They see miracles, including Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. There's other examples. So Simon Peter knew Jesus. He knew Jesus' character. He was following Jesus. He knew he was trustworthy. When Jesus spoke, miracles happened. But he also cared about the people. He had the power to help people, and he would. He would heal the afflicted and the demon-possessed. And not for selfish gain, not like if you think of the woman with the issue of blood, that the physicians did. They took all the money. She spent all her money. There was a fee. But that's not what Jesus did. He didn't charge a fee. He did it out of compassion. He would preach about the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God has come near, and the kingdom was near. Jesus was relational and not exclusionary. He was powerful, not powerless. And so Peter was starting to get a picture of who Jesus was. Well, my point is, there's an ongoing relationship between Jesus and Simon Peter. Within the Christian walk, we're all at different points in our relationship with Jesus. Some people have been walking for years. You know, we might have seen him do miracles. We've seen him be faithful. We've had to trust him in difficult times. We've grown up in relationship over time. And then there's some of us who are starting out, who are hearing about Jesus for the first time. But no matter what camp you're in, your picture of Jesus is growing. And it's within this context of a growing understanding of who Jesus is that Jesus does this next thing. And this is my second observation. Jesus makes a request of Simon Peter which goes against natural reasoning. Let's read from verse 4. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master," or teacher, "we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." I'm just going to stop there. Well, let's put this into context. Jesus, the carpenter, has just preached a message, and then he tells Simon, the professional fisherman, with years of experience, who has just finished all night fishing in the area, and with his other professional fishermen, "Go out into the deep water, cast your nets, and you'll catch something." That's the context. It'd be a bit like a nurse maybe telling a pilot how to fly a plane. So Simon has this lifetime of natural experience and reason to reject Jesus. Reject what he said, reject his direction, his instruction. And not only that, it's going to take effort and potentially courage if he wants to do what Jesus has said, because his business partners are there. So his reputation is at stake. You know, I can picture Peter talking to his business partners, like, "Hey guys, this guy Jesus says that we should go take a boat out and cast the nets out into deep water, even though we never catch fish in the deep water because that's not where they feed. It's not where the food source is or whatever. I know you guys are tired because we've been hauling all night. And actually, you've just finished washing the net and packed up. But, you know, he's a carpenter, so we should totally listen to him." You know, like, that's kind of the context, right? Yeah, because everyone wants to do business with someone like that. So there's something at stake for Peter, his reputation. And yet this is so often the Christian walk. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. It can actually look a little bit silly to other people what we believe. Like Peter, we might know Jesus, we have relationship with him, we know what he desires of us because we've read the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit who's bringing the Word of God into our remembrance, transforming our heart and our mind, and then a life situation comes up and suddenly what God wants seems difficult and we have to make a decision. Do we follow Christ? Do we follow what's clear in Scripture? Do we follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit, or do we not? You know, do we follow our own desires? Do we follow natural logic? Do we follow social pressure? Do we follow convention? Do we believe those things? You know, because there's a cost to being a disciple. And there are plenty of examples of this. You know, you're going to have a conversation with a workmate. Are you going to tell them what you did on the weekend? Are you going to tell them I went to church? Are you going to tell them, actually, I listened to this incredible message. Hopefully it's incredible. I was encouraged, actually. And then they say, well, why do you go to church? You know, are you going to tell them your testimony, or are you afraid of that? Are you afraid of walking in love to someone who doesn't deserve it? Because it's not the natural thing to do. We can go with what is the natural thing to do, or we can go with what God is leading. Going back to my example that I brought at the start, I was tired, it was late, a little bit like these guys. You know, the guy needed a lift after a night service, and I thought, I don't really want to. He could have organized it earlier. He should have organized it earlier. You know, there are other people who could do it. And yet I knew in my heart, I knew I had a bit of judgment towards him. And the Holy Spirit was putting his finger on that and saying, that's got to change. And it wasn't like an audible voice or anything. It was just something that I knew. So I had a choice. Do I love my brother genuinely, or do I be ruled by something other than Christ? Do I trust something other than Christ? And this takes us to our third observation of the text. Simon trusts Jesus' word on the basis of his character. Let's read from verse 5. We'll read the whole thing again. So Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. It's as though Simon is saying, Jesus, because I know you, because it's you, because I have this developing relationship with you, and I've seen some incredible things, I've heard some incredible things, I've heard that you're the Messiah, I'm going to choose what you say above what my natural response is. There's a kind of reorientation going on. You know, in my example, I thought, I don't really want to drop this guy home. But then I thought, you know what, all right, I'll do it, Lord. And sometimes it's just that first step that leads to the next step. And then you're going in a direction that's changed. And what happens? Let's look at verse 6. When they had done so, so that's cast out their nets, they'd gone out there, perhaps with a bit of resistance, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. What's happened? Here's miracle 1 of 3. They catch fish. And not just a few fish, not just a lot of fish, but enough fish to scare them. Picture it. Oh no, this boat can't handle it. Guys, come. Come out in your boat. And then they come out in their boat, and their boat too begins to sink. And they could not harvest, they could not catch any more fish because their equipment would fail. And nature, because of what's happened, they're on the brink. It's on the brink. Nature is on the brink of ruining them. Their catch is on the brink of ruining them. It's utterly amazing. It's indescribable. There's such an outpouring of fish, it can't be contained. It's the grace of God. It's an act of God they've never experienced. And look at the result. It's not, Jesus, join our fishing crew. We're going to make so much money with you on our crew. You know, you're the best, which might be kind of, you know, our temptation. Maybe. No, It's utter shock. We see the second miracle, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Everyone recognized this is incredible. And miracle 2, Simon recognizes Jesus is God. And that Jesus is way better than his ways. Jesus' ways are way better than his ways. I think he recognized that he's lived his own way for so long. And it's so different to Jesus' ways. And he says, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. Okay, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of being in your presence." And he changes his speech. This is Peter. He changes his speech and the way he addresses Jesus. In verse 5, Simon Peter was using the word, for those who like the Greek, epistata, meaning teacher or master. It's kind of that level. It's that good teacher level. But now in verse 8, he's addressing Jesus and he uses the word kurios, meaning Lord, Master, Lord, Ruler. There's an acknowledgement on his lips, but also in his heart, that Jesus is completely other. That his ways are so much better than my ways. And that this miracle, and that this is a miracle, Jesus has spoken a word and creation bows to him. You know, I use that term other. Jesus is so other because that's what holiness means. You know, there's kind of two things in this world. There's God and there's God's creation. And God is completely other than his creation. And Simon has a response here. And he has the same response as Isaiah. In Isaiah 6:5, when Isaiah sees God enthroned in heaven and cries, "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and I live in a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Translation, meaning I'm unclean, I'm a dead man. God is completely other, he's completely holy. His ways are better than my ways, and I don't match up in at all. The way I live is not like you, Jesus. I don't deserve to be in your presence. I'm selfish. And let's think of any number of characteristics. But let's look at Jesus' response. And this is the third miracle. Verse 10. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Straight away, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." See, we could rightly expect Jesus, the Holy One, the one whom his creation itself bows to, we could expect him to cast him away. After all, what business would royalty have with a smelly fisherman? And what, you know, when would a billionaire invite a failure to partner with them? What company does righteous, holy, just, all-powerful, all-knowing, all pure, all perfect God have with sinner? Yet Jesus, the Son of God, doesn't come to reject but restore. He extends mercy and builds peace by saying, "Don't be afraid." That is, don't run away. I'm not going to reject you. Rather, he shows grace and invites me into closer relationship. Simon Peter, be with me. Come. From now on, fish with me for people. You see, Jesus is trustworthy with our sin, with our desire, with our choices, with our pain, with our past, with our present condition, with our future condition. with our life. So do you trust him with your life? If you have received Jesus' work on the cross, if you receive that he is Lord, you're like Peter. And Jesus gives you that same response. Don't be afraid. Draw near. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:13 that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No matter where you are on your walk with God, Jesus has an invitation for you to walk with him. And he's trustworthy. He's trustworthy with every part of our life, our hearts, our fears, our failures. He doesn't reject us, but he calls us to a new life with Christ. He gives us his Spirit as a helper so we can know God. He gives us his Word, the Scripture, to build us up so we can know him, so we can walk by faith. We can walk trusting him. We have everything we need to live a life with God and for God because of Jesus. So, in closing, let me ask you, are you living with Jesus? Like Simon Peter, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you trust God's word even when it doesn't make sense to your natural reasoning? Or your natural circumstances, or when it's hard. At the beginning of the talk, I told you about a guy whom I initially didn't like. I was quite quick to judge. I was jealous of him. But I knew the Bible says, love one another as I have loved you. I knew it was, don't judge. Well, I dropped him off at his house. I put aside my preconceived ideas and I decided to treat him like someone who's valuable. I decided, actually, God, I want to walk in your ways. And the car ride, we didn't really say much, but when we parked, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to ask him some questions. I'm going to get to know him. And so I did. And we quickly became friends. We ended up chatting for a couple hours about the goodness of God. And how incredible it was when I walked in God's ways, I realized that my way was foolish. His way was so much better. I was changed. I was transformed, and I was just in awe of who God was. I know this is a really simple example, and there are much better examples that you've all probably got in your own life of following Christ. But my encouragement is that we would follow him, that we would trust him when it's hard. We would trust him when natural reasoning or when other things are saying, don't trust him. The Christian walk is a walk of faith. I hope you're reminded that God is trustworthy. It's pretty incredible that he gives us an invitation to trust him every day. He gives us grace in the process. And whenever we do, all the time, we're actually drawn nearer to him. It strengthens us in our faith. So there are many examples I could give of kind of how we might trust God every day. You know, it might be in our prayer life. Do we trust God in our prayer life? I remember I was with a friend the other day and he said, oh, Mark, I just don't know that when we do these corporate prayers for nations, you know, does God really hear us? It doesn't seem like God's really doing anything. And we were looking at Acts, actually, and we were reminded that I think it's in Acts 12, the church is praying for this particular gentleman, Simon Peter. And they're praying that he would be released from prison. And then God does a miracle and he's released from prison. And he goes and knocks on the door. And yet the Christians there don't actually believe that God would have done a miracle. But God did. And so it's kind of reassuring that we can pray and God can hear us and move, even though we're kind of not really trusting God. We're trusting God how we can trust God with where we're at. But when he does something, we might not know that he's done something. So it might be in prayer. You might think, how can I encourage you to trust God? It might be in your prayer life that God actually is answering your prayers. It might be in your workplace. Maybe there's people in your workplace that you'd like to share the gospel with, or you'd like them to know who you are. You'd like to know that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of Christ, but you don't know how to have that conversation. And maybe you just need to step out and go, God, I'm going to trust you. Whatever the circumstance is, it might be with your health. It might be with your kids. It might be in this world that we live in today. The example is that Jesus is trustworthy. So let's trust him. Well, let's just pray and finish up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for this passage of Scripture where Peter trusts you. Even though there's these other circumstances which look contrary to what you're saying. Father, I just pray that we'll be reminded that we can trust you always. You're trustworthy with our heart. You're trustworthy with our fears. You're strong and able to carry us through. And you draw us closer to you. So Lord, help us to trust always. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen.